Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. Members of the Philadelphia Church of God around the world have recently come through Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. These annual observances picture Jesus Christ's part and then our part in God's plan of salvation for all mankind. Christ had his part to play, and really God with him. Mr. Gerald Fleury, Pastor General of the Philadelphia Church of God, wrote a co-worker letter on April 9th about how Christ did his part so that we can follow on and do our part next. He writes, "Christ overcame using the word of God and by remaining fiercely loyal to God the Father." Christ really did so much for us while he was here on earth, setting an example for us in every way of how to live, how to think, how to speak, how to interact with others, how to live the way of give, how to show love to God and to all mankind. John 3, verse 16 is a verse that we talk about or hear about a lot. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Mr. Fleury writes, "Always remember that Jesus Christ gave his life to pay for your sins. And beyond that, God the Father risked losing his eternal companion in order to expand his family." That is just remarkable truth. Thinking about how much God and Christ sacrificed for you, for me, for every single one of us. Again, this is from the April 9th, 2024 co-worker letter by Mr. Gerald Fleury. He quotes Romans 5, verse 10, that says, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." There's two parts here. The death of Christ pays for our past sins, bringing us basically even where, okay, we don't have this debt hanging over us anymore. But then salvation comes by the life of Christ. The death pays for the sin. The life saves us. And now Christ lives to help us. Mr. Gerald Fleury has written a book called The Book of Hebrews, What Jesus Christ is Doing Today, to show that Christ really does live to help every one of us today as our high priest, as our advocate to the Father when we sin, basically pleading our case to God before a judge, as if before a judge, saying, "Father, these humans are weak. Their flesh is frail. I know from experience as a human being what a struggle it is to come out of sin. Please be patient with them. Please have mercy on them." That is Christ's role today. Christ is also our intercessor, our go-between, so that we can have direct contact with God the Father in prayer. Mr. Fleury writes, "He lives and is actively fighting as our commander in chief. He is mediating between the Father and us as we confront sin in our lives. But then that brings us to our role. Christ has done his part. Christ is doing his part in God's master plan for man. This miraculous process of God transforming human beings into spirit-born members of his family. Christ died for us. Christ lives for us. Christ did his part. But then we also have our part. Mr. Fleury writes, we did not volunteer for this fight. God called us into it. He encourages us to fight with wholehearted passion. Christ conquered the devil, and we can do the same and be blessed with unimaginable rewards. Revelation 3, verse 21. We have a responsibility to follow Christ's lead and complete God's work today. That is our part in God's plan of salvation. That's right. Doing God's work is our part in God's plan of salvation. This is not just some hobby. God's work is everything. It's not just about, you know, supporting the different initiatives of the Philadelphia Church of God as we deliver a message to the world. It literally is about how God is developing character in us right now. We benefit spiritually and in so many other ways when we support God's work. And we benefit others by supporting this work that can change their lives as well. This is pretty big. This is part of God's master plan of salvation. Doing God's work today. Mr. Fleury gives an update on just the very small number of people actually doing God's work. The Philadelphia Church of God has 11,900 active members, prospective members, youths, co-workers, and donors. So a co-worker is someone who has supported the work financially more than once. A donor is someone who has supported the work financially just one time, I believe. But 11,900 members, those with God's Holy Spirit, prospective members, perhaps those who attend services but do not have the Holy Spirit yet, and then, of course, youths, co-workers, and donors. There are some who attend God's church, and there are some who do not attend God's church but still support God's work. Mr. Fleury writes, that makes your calling very special. You are one out of 680,845 people on earth supporting God's work. So you're not quite one in a million, but very close. One in 680,845. Not many people are doing God's work today. And so wouldn't it stand to reason that your role in God's work is quite important when there are so few people doing it? So what is your role in God's work? Mr. Fleury quotes 1 Corinthians chapter 1, so we'll take a look at that here. 1 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. and base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 through 29. We see here that God is calling the weak and the lowly, the humble, the unassuming of the world. Because God wants us to know that it's by his power that the work is done. We are just instruments in God's hands. We should not glory in being more special than anyone else because we are not. However, we do have an opportunity for an increased reward. If we come out of the world, do God's work, live a converted way of life now, then the reward is great. But still, all the credit, all the glory and honor for doing God's work belongs to God, for calling us in the first place, for inspiring us with his truth, for helping us to see the need to deliver this truth to more people. The world desperately needs a warning message. The world desperately needs to understand what is coming, how great tribulation is about to bring mankind to the brink of extinction. Don't we want to warn? Don't we want to do our part to warn so that these people will not go into tribulation without any clue that it was about to happen? Now, that being said, as we've talked about before, there is a very specific way of warning, of reaching out. We do not proselytize. We do not go door to door. We do not cold call anybody. We do not solicit any sort of support from anyone. We're not trying to force God's truth on anybody because then they would hate it. We would alienate them. If God is not calling them, if God is not opening their mind, it's a worthless effort. But our part in the work is to support the warning message as it goes out so that people who do want to hear it, people who do stumble across it, can be warned. People who are searching for answers, who want to know what the Bible says, who want to know about prophecy, they can be warned. Those who are hostile toward God will have their time in the future. But there are some who God will protect now, and we can warn those people. It's a very different approach from other churches that actively seek more members, and they preach whatever the members want to hear because it's all about the money. God's work just delivers the message as a witness, as a warning. It's up to people to decide if they want to hear and change their way of living so that they don't have to be punished. This is really a helpful coworker letter, again, April 9th, 2024, from Mr. Gerald Fleury, because it does give us quite a nice update on God's work, how the Key of David response is up 8% from this time last year. More and more people are responding to the Key of David television program by Mr. Fleury. And it's amazing how many people just came into contact with God's church by flipping around on TV and finding the Key of David broadcast and noticing how different it is from other religious messages. In fact, it's not really even a religious message. It's just a message about life. It's a message about the Bible and what's important, about man's purpose. It's about why you exist. That's pretty special. That's pretty unique. Mr. Fleury talks about how there is hostility toward the Key of David broadcast in Canada, how it's been very difficult to broadcast in Britain and Europe. And he says this gives us another opportunity to refine our prayers. God's warning message needs to reach the heart of Europe. The Holy Roman Empire is rising. So all these places, Canada, Britain, Europe, the Key of David needs to get out. The message needs to go out to more people. More people need to be able to access God's truth if they so choose. And that's something we can always pray about. That's a huge part for us to play in God's work. We have to walk through open doors that God provides to move the work forward. Now, this is really special. Mr. Fleury admonishes us to review the section in chapter 6 of Mystery of the Ages called Part of the Lay Member. That's something that we will take a look at here. Part of the Lay Member. This starts on page 205 of Mystery of the Ages. And in fact, maybe we can even just look at a little bit before that section starts. Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, founder of the Worldwide Church of God, wrote Mystery of the Ages, and you can get a free copy at thetrumpet.com. But Mr. Armstrong writes about the purpose of the church, and he says that the church has a dual responsibility. Number one, go ye into all the world and proclaim the good news, announcement of the coming kingdom of God. And number two, feed my sheep. So these are the two purposes of God's church, delivering a message out there to all the world, proclaiming the kingdom of God, but also feed my sheep. Also, spiritually nourishing the church members, those who already have been called, who already do believe, who already are obeying God. Mr. Armstrong writes here on page 205, but in feeding the sheep, developing in them God's spiritual character, God has given them their part in supporting, backing up the Great Commission, go ye into all the world. So the brethren support the first commission of the church to reach the world with a warning. The brethren have their part in God's work. And that includes co-workers and donors as well. Again, they have their part in God's work too. Mr. Armstrong writes, the individual lay member has his vital part in proclaiming the good news, gospel, to the world. How? Not by going out and himself proclaiming Christ's message to the neighborhood or to the world. That is done primarily by the apostles, to some extent by evangelists, and to even a lesser extent in local areas by local pastors. All right, now, part of the lay member, this section that Mr. Fleury says we need to review. Mr. Fleury gives us this directive in the April 9th coworker letter. Review this section of Mystery of the Ages, part of the lay member. Mr. Armstrong writes in Mystery of the Ages, for example, what part does the individual local member have in taking the gospel message to all the world? This is done primarily and directly by the apostle. In this latter half of the 20th century, it is done also by radio, television, and in print. We could add to that today in the 21st century, the internet. Also, there are personal appearance campaigns. Mr. Armstrong continues, in the first century, it was done by personal proclamation. We're doing that too, like I said. Then what part did the individual lay member have in it? Much. Without this larger body of lay members, the apostle could do nothing. So yes, Mr. Armstrong, back when he was alive, Mr. Fleury today, those are the ones directly communicating this message, this good news, and this warning to the world. This message that trouble is coming, but that Christ will return to solve all our problems. Yes, it's Mr. Armstrong and Mr. Fleury directly proclaiming the message, and yet there are people who surround and support these men who help in a vital way. Mr. Armstrong points to a really beautiful example in Acts chapter 4, where Peter and John really needed help. They needed the backing, support, encouragement of the people. They needed the prayers of the people because they were all one team. Mr. Armstrong talks about the receivership, the attack on the Worldwide Church of God by the state of California in 1979, and how 5,000 lay members showed up to the Ambassador College campus in Pasadena, California, and they occupied the buildings on campus so that the state government could not illegally seize control of God's church. That was a spontaneous reaction by the brethren. And you can learn a lot about that at our website, pcg.church. Just look up the word receivership or look up, you know, California attack, something like that. Mr. Ryan Malone has written a wonderful article on that subject. But the lay members have a crucial part in the work. The co-workers and the donors have a crucial part in the work. As it talks about in Acts 4, praying hard about the work. There are plenty of prayer requests in these co-worker letters from Mr. Fleury. Specific things that you can pray about. And you can make a difference in your prayers. You do have the ability to change God's mind or to stir him to action with your fervent prayers. Always remember that. Mr. Armstrong continues on page 206 of Mystery of the Ages. The author, Christ's apostle, can say emphatically that the apostles, evangelists, pastors, and elders could not carry on the work of God without the loyal backing and continual encouragement of the lay members. Mr. Armstrong writes in Mystery of the Ages how much he loves when people send in letters of support, when people thank him for his hard work and sacrifice. Mr. Fleury appreciates that as well. We all appreciate a pat on the back or a hug, figuratively speaking, a kind word, a smile. Mr. Fleury is no different. Mr. Fleury is human like the rest of us. We all need to rally around him and support him because God is using him and he needs help. Continuing here, page 206, notice how this is a symbiotic relationship. It's not just the brethren helping the ministry or God's man. Page 206, Mr. Armstrong writes, neither can the individual lay member develop and build within him God's holy, righteous, and perfect character without the operations of the apostle, evangelists, pastors, and elders. All these various members God has set in his church are interdependent, mutually dependent on one another. They form a team, an organized spiritual organism, utterly different from any secular and worldly organization. You can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 on your own time. But this is really showing us the analogy of a physical body. Christ is the head of God's church. He is the head of the spiritual body. And then there are other body parts. You know how it is. Arms, legs, a face, all these different parts. And every lay member, every supporter of God's work has a different part to play in doing God's work. We all have different roles, just like different body parts have different operations to make sure the body works right. So you do have a vital role in God's work through prayer and encouragement and other ways of support. And your contributions are valued by God and greatly appreciated. Your God appreciates your contributions to the work. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 12 p.m. Central Time.